This is HDN.
It's Friday once again in the Beaver Bank Bunker, Friday, September the 12th.
And they are poised to party this weekend on Gottingen Street. This is the festival known as Gottingen 250, and they are celebrating 250 years of history. And you name it, they've got it planned. It is absolutely incredible. I didn't realize this. Their history started 250 years ago with the naming of Gottingen Street.
Okay, who was the idiot that named and spelled Gottingen Street? Because nobody can pronounce it correctly. When I first came to town, it was Gottingen, it was Gottingen, Gottingen, and I still hear people that have lived here all their lives saying Gottingen.
You know what? It was German settlers that gave it the name. So it's
so
a
does
German
it mean
name.
Something in German?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Any of our German listeners, what does Gottingen or Gottingen mean? And is it pronounced Gottingen or Gottingen? I've heard both.
Both, yeah, that's right.
Officially on radio, they said, say Gottingen.
I think I've always said Gottingen.
Yeah, but I've heard somebody who lived, well, I'd lived right off of Gottingen, and I've talked to people who are actually on the street there, businesses, and they call it Gottingen, so who knows?
Yeah, anyway.
Don't get me started with Robbie and Roby.
No matter what you call it.
Agricola and Agricola. What the hell? Who's naming these streets?
They have got an entire weekend of great stuff planned. There are two festival stages. The main stage is at 2183 Gottingen Street, and then the second stage on Maitland Street. Now, on Saturday, there's the Hope Blooms Kids Zone. On the main stage, there's the Mi'kmaq opening with the drummers and then music. There's spoken word performances. There's more music. I mean, a DJ dance party that starts from 11 p.m. until 1 a.m. at the main stage. So, I mean, it is going to be going nonstop over the weekend. And then Sunday's events kick off with a multi-denominational service at the Cornwallis Street Baptist Church. More information on the history of Gottingen Street, because I mean my parents both were born and raised in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
So they tell stories all the time about how Gottingen Street was...
It was hip and happening at the time.
It was the Spring Garden Road of its day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you went to shop. That's where you went to go eat, to go see movies. I mean, that was really the core of the downtown. And it really wasn't until, I want to say, the 80s that things started to slide a bit. I mean, I remember going to New York Dress on Gottingen Street, which was like the premier dress store in Halifax at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got my prom gown. And that was 1986. So it's sad to say Gottingen Street has suffered stigmatization for many years. And I mean, they've been fighting hard to overcome that. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, there's at least one, if not two, major developments that are planned for the street that are going to turn it into a residential commercial hub once again. GottingenHistory.ca. They've got an interactive website that goes through the storied history of that street. And something really cool that they're doing in conjunction with this that we can all sort of enjoy is the special radio station, 106.9 FM, and this is being run pretty much 24 hours a day out of the North End Library. It's entirely hosted by local young people. Now, these kids got some basic training in radio journalism, and they've been doing interviews all summer long and doing all the editing, and they're broadcasting shows that they produce, as well as live music and some surprise programming.
How many watts on that baby?
Doesn't say, but they got one of those special community radio station licenses,
yeah.
So they can do this during the run of the festival until Sunday.
Terrific.
Saw this all over social media the night before last. There was a major explosion that was heard in Sackville, and people were sort of wondering, was it gunshots? Was it, you know, an explosion? But the even more interesting, the noise was followed by smoke on the horizon. Well, it turns out it was a shed fire at the corner of Springfield Lake Road and Fennerty Road. Nobody was hurt, but the shed is a complete write-off.
And who knows what's out in the shed?
Exactly. Mm. We never speak of what's in the shed. Officials are thinking that had something to do with the loud bangs. The city's doing something great for the brand new students that are new to our community, the international students in particular. They are having a special reception with the mayor on Saturday at Pier 21 from 2 until 4 p.m. And Mayor Mike Savage is going to be there to welcome them all to Halifax and Pier 21 will be there as well to give some information on various services and programming that's available in the city. So that is...
Pier 21 will be there as well? What do you mean? Well, a special guest appearance by Pier 21?
Well, it's at Pier 21, so some of the staff from Pier 21.
Gotcha. You never know. I mean, when you say Theodore Tugboat and a real live tugboat with a face on it shows up, Pier 21 comes up, "Hello, I'm Pier 21. Let me tell you a bit of my history." It's not a hell of a bad idea, you know?
No, it's not. So here's the latest on the off-leash dog situation.
The Africville Seaview Park relocation. Okay.
Yeah. Bring you all back up to speed. Motion through council back in June. Staff have been requested to review the existing off-leash park strategy to sort of find out our requirements, the management, and what it's going to cost and all that. Well, now there is a survey available. Go to halifax.ca, find the off-leash dog area section, and there's a link there that you can take the survey.
Have you taken it?
I took the survey.
What do they ask? What do they ask?
I took it this morning. I'll give them props. It is very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. They ask you everything from what time of day you use the dog parks to, you know, daily, weekly, what's important to you, the areas that are important to you. I mean, it is a very comprehensive survey. So if you are a stakeholder in this in any way, shape, or form, go and take that survey. It's going to be open until September the 25th, and it is well worth it if you want your say on the next round of off-leash areas in this city.
And even if you're not a dog owner, think about it. You're going to want a beautiful, fenced-in, off-leash park so that all of the dogs and owners are off somewhere else, not bugging you. It makes everybody happy, no matter you know, if you're a dog lover or a dog hater. There are people who are deathly afraid of dogs.
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't you like them to be off leash somewhere fenced in so that there's no chance of them running out at you? And I mean, that's the type of thing they're asking. Then definitely take that survey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first part of the survey altogether is just about your park use in general. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with dogs. They even get into, have you ever had run-ins with dogs at an off-leash dog park? You know, that type of thing. So they go at it pretty deep. I think they're going to get a lot of good information from this survey. So a lot of folks are not big fans of bees, wasps, hornets, those little bugs with stingers. Well, introduce you to a couple from Weymouth North. They found a beehive in the walls of their home and even more inside a spare bedroom. Garnet and Gail Melanson first noticed the swarm of bees on the back of their house Tuesday afternoon. Garnet went out to kind of take a swipe at it and thought that would be the end of it. But he got out there and there were hundreds of bees buzzing around out back. So they were trying to gather them up off the back wall. And some folks that they had recruited to help them out noticed that the bees had crawled up into a space around the door frame. So then they went into the house and they started dismantling some of the door frames and found the whole thing inside was just covered in bees. And that's
like
when they...
the honeycombs? The
honeycombs,
whole bit?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, and it just kept getting deeper and deeper into the house. So they had teams that came out to remove the honeycombs, hoping that the queen was in one of them. And then they just tried to collect up as many bees as they could. They were using those non-toxic smokers to calm the bees down. Mm. They have collected up a lot of them, but they've sealed off the rooms in question. They're thinking somewhere between 40 and 60,000 bees.
So all of those David Suzuki specials saying, where have our bees gone and what's happening to the bees? We found them.
Yes.
We found them all.
Gail and Garnet are harboring them in their home down Yarmouth Way. Anyway, they've sealed it off and they've got crews coming back tomorrow, I do believe, to see if they, you know, the hope is that by removing as many honeycombs as possible, they took the queen with them.
Yeah.
And if they set the queen out sort of in the yard in the honeycombs, that the rest of the bees will follow, fingers crossed.
You know what? It wasn't all that long ago where they would have just gassed the whole place
with
poison.
Yes.
Like, we're talking like less than a decade ago, it would have been, let's kill all these bees and make sure we get the queen too so that no more come around. But no,
Not now.
They are a scarce commodity and we love you. I've seen too many documentaries saying that once the bees go, we go.
Yeah, that's true.
That could be the final nail in our coffin, folks. So don't kill a bee.
Yeah,
be wasps, kind. On the other hand, kill those dirty bastards.
They're the devil.
I hate those. Oh, no. Compared to horseflies,
they're doing nothing. The devil's work.
Horseflies, I want them all dead. They're good for nothing except to annoy me.
Deer flies, too.
Oh, deer flies are annoying, and they bite. But horseflies, when they're flying around you, it's like you've got a Cessna flying around your ears. What the hell is that? It's like a hummingbird taking little chunks out of you.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get me started on the horseflies again.
This is kind of neat. A pharmacist is taking a stand, no longer selling soft drinks or other sugary beverages in his store. And he says, as a health professional, he can't make money off of one of the top contributing substances to child abuse. His name is Graham McKenzie, and he owns and operates Stone's Pharmasave in Bedeque. Now, he conducts one-on-one counseling sessions with many of his patients, many of them in need of dietary advice, and he says it's just not right for them to advise people to cut out soft drinks and other sugary drinks from their diet, and then have them walk past a cooler full of Pepsi and Coke and whatnot on the way out the door.
Exactly the same theory that they had with cigarettes.
Yep, that's right.
For the longest time, you could go down to your drugstore and pick up a pack of smokes.
Yeah, and that's been, what, about 10 years now for that, maybe?
At least.
Now, the pharmacist says that he's going to be looking at everything he sells, including chocolate bars, chips. But he says sugary drinks, fruit juices, vitamin water, they were the first to go because of their presence in kids' lunch bags. And he says they just do nothing but contribute to the growing epidemic of childhood obesity.
Wow. He's opening up Pandora's box here.
Is he ever?
I mean, what about the diet pops? Those are bad for you, too. They're saying now that those things contribute to obesity even more than the sugary drinks do. Where do you stop this?
At the glass of water.
Here's your aspirin, sir, and here's some water to take it with, and that's all we sell.
Yeah.
What about some of these drugs? You've seen the side effects that those things are touting. My God, runny stools, and you know. I still think that's a great name for a band.
Yeah, love their second album. All right, I'm going to feel old here for a minute.
All right.
Public service announcement. Sackville High, 30th high school reunion. If you graduated from Sackville High in 1984, you're invited to a kitchen party on Saturday, September the 27th at the Split Crow in Bedford. The 30th reunion kicks off with socializing from 7 till 9, and then the dance starts at 9 o'clock with the band's second time around. Tickets $5 at the door. Friends of graduates also invited. And if you want to RSVP, just dash off an email to Sackville High Class of 1984 at gmail.com.
And in case you were worried, the Split Crow in Bedford, that's not the one with the stairs. So if you have a walker, you can go right in there because it's all on one level.
You bastard.
Hey, mine passed years ago. For whatever reason, I missed them all. And it's kind of sad. You know, if you have the opportunity to go to a reunion, then do.
Oh my God, yes.
Facebook does that for me now anyway. You just see pictures of people and you're fine.
But at the same time, Facebook has made it a hell of a lot easier to organize those events. I remember I helped organize our 10-year reunion. And I mean, that was back before email. And so we were sending letters out to people's parents. And I mean, it was just a nightmare.
But the thing about the 10-year reunion is you arrive there and nobody's really changed.
No.
You get like 5 people in the entire graduating class that have actually gone on and done something. Everybody else is still like, I'm still going to school or I'm living at home. Or, you know, but once you get up to 25.
That was, I was asked to MC our 25th reunion. Mm. And I'll tell you, in all honesty, I have never been more nervous emceeing a gig in my entire life. I have emceed banquets for hundreds of people. I've done, you know, concerts on stage at the Metro Center. But holy smokes, doing that one.
Well, your graduating class was kind of rough. I could have sworn I saw a switchblade or two in the crowd.
It is Sackville, after all.
I don't blame you a bit.
This one's going to blow you on your ass. I couldn't believe it when I read it. Neil Young. We know him. We love him. Canadian icon.
Yeah.
It was in the news about a month ago, I guess. Yeah, about a month ago. He filed for divorce from his wife, Peggy. Now, they've been together 36 years.
Yeah. He wrote Harvest Moon all about her.
Is that all about her?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Oh, yes. It was a love poem to his wife.
Wow. Well, I wonder if he's going to start writing any love songs about Daryl Hannah, because they are dating. Daryl Hannah and Neil Young photographed kissing while grabbing a bite to eat in Westlake, California on Tuesday, September the 9th. I guess his people have confirmed to Us Weekly that, yes, they are a couple. I don't know at what situation their paths would have crossed.
Well, maybe when she was with Jackson Brown, perhaps?
No, that's true.
That did not end well at all.
Yeah, she certainly has a thing for rockers, doesn't she? But I wish them the best, I guess. I hope he's found what he's looking for.
Well, if he was looking for Daryl Hannah, then...
He found her.
Yeah. And that's it for this edition of the Halifax Daily News. Go forth, have yourself a great weekend. Mm-hmm. Here's something you can do. You have some homework.
Okay.
Why don't you listen to some of the old podcasts over the weekend? Do some binge listening. Do what I did and listen to the podcast that we did from the Dare to Dream Home Lottery home.
Yeah, the one that Briony House is giving away.
Time is running out.
Yeah. Go see it this weekend, why don't you? It's on just off the Waverly Road.
But listen to the podcast because we give you a virtual tour.
Mm-hmm.
We talk all about it. We did it back in May, and it is an absolutely gorgeous place. And you know what? They were going to sell 60,000 tickets.
Well, they were hoping to. And
That way they could have made a lot of money for Briony House. And 30,000 was the break-even point.
Yeah.
And now they're struggling to get to 30,000. So two things, folks.
Mm-hmm.
One, without a doubt, these are your best odds of winning a house.
You better believe. Not just
hands
the house.
Down.
I mean, there's tons of other stuff, too.
And a lot of other stuff,
yeah.
too. So your best odds. That's between you and me. I'd love to hear our podcast listeners win this thing. But secondly, it is for such a good cause.
Absolutely.
You know, buy those tickets. Buy a bunch of them. Give people early Christmas presents. That type of thing, because really we should help out this cause, and it would just be so tragic to see this lottery. It's their first time doing it as
it
well
is.
And everything is gorgeous, all the prizes are there, everything is perfect, but to see them take a bit of a bath on this would just be a sin.
It would be heartbreaking.
So get down there or daretodream.ca. All the information is on the podcast, and the house is open for you to view over the weekend,
yeah,
too.
You can even buy the tickets online at daretodream.ca, so you don't even have to leave your living room if you choose not to.
Yeah, so that's your homework for the weekend, and then we're back on Monday.
Until then.